Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 15th of November. We're going to do our November open line today, as a matter of fact, starting momentarily. It's always a great chance for us to be in touch with you to find out the kinds of programs that you would like to have on the air from 9 to 11. And let me give you our phone number. Our lines are filled already, but there will be openings, of course. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 for you to join our suggestion line. Hour two of our program, Tom Brokaw will be with us. Tom has written a really lovely book and thought-provoking book on a number of levels. It's titled The Time of Our Lives, A Conversation About America. He, of course, has been a journalist. I didn't realize how long, but it's been almost a half century he has been a journalist. And he writes about his grandparents' generation, his mother and his father, South Dakota land-grant colleges, his meeting with President Obama very shortly after he took office in Germany. He asks the question, how much is enough? He looks at Wall Street, at news sources, just a number of different issues. He strikes me as a person of a great deal of substance, and he will be with us the second hour of our program today. All right, Chrissy Pease is answering phone calls. She will chat with you for a moment and get you on hold, and we'll be with you on the air momentarily. Again, the number is 800-486-8655, and we start our calls with Eugene from Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I have a book for you. The title of it is A Train in Winter by Caroline Moorhead. It's the stories of women from all walks of life starting in 1940 that worked in the resistance in France.
Oh.
And in 1943, the Germans and Nazis caught up with them.
Okay.
And sent several hundred of them to a concentration camp. And 49 of them survived. And the author had the opportunity to interview a couple of those ladies that were still alive that were in their 90s.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Is it new, Eugene? A new book?
It's what?
Is it new?
Yes, it's brand new.
Oh, good.
It's just out. It's, like I said, A Train in Winter by Caroline Moorhead.
Sounds terrific.
You bet. Thanks
much. We're on the case, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh, bye. Greg in Madison. Hi, Greg.
Hi. I'd like to suggest Thomas Greco, who's an expert on alternative currencies. He's used to be a professor of business, and now he runs something called the Community Information Resource Center. The name of his book is Money, and it's not a recent book. It's from 2001, but he may have revised or updated. I just don't have internet access to find out. The goal here would be to provide an alternative view of economics, because typically there's a lot of people who call in about the Federal Reserve and the banking system, either like that it's a debt trap or that we need to get back on the gold standard. And when you have a conventional economist answer that question, they're like, oh, well, we wouldn't want to limit the size of the world economy to the amount of gold we can mine. Which is true, but I think our money should have something behind it. And so this would be a guy who could kind of give us an alternative view of the Federal Reserve rather than sort of a conventional view of one, which is always, you know, it's always too complicated to understand anyway. And I think everyone suspects there's something fishy going on. It would be nice to have some good, solid information.
All right, Greg.
Thanks.
Thanks for the suggestion. Boyd in Milwaukee. Hi, Boyd.
Hi, Kathleen. Good morning.
Hi.
My suggestion is this, and tell me if you've even read the book. Have you read the latest book on Lincoln that I guess was written by Bill O'Reilly? And you don't have to get Bill O'Reilly on, but would you want to get a scholar on that would want that would want to discuss it and talk about it?
I think we have a call in to Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if there's been a response yet, but I think we have called him.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
If we're going to talk about the book, talk to Bill O'Reilly, right? I guess they won't present it at the Ford Theater I read over the weekend because they said it was filled with historical inaccuracies. I haven't read the book, so have you read it?
No. I actually wanted to see if you're going to get someone on and get their take on it before I would read it. I am intrigued to read it nonetheless, yeah. So, but I thought I'd want to hear your show discuss about it first, because I know anything Lincoln, you always try to get on.
I know. I love the guy. Did you know that, Boyd? I love the guy. I think O'Reilly's book is way up there, one or two on the New York Times bestseller list. So.
Oh, yeah. It is up there. It's doing quite well from what I hear. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we hope we'll have him on sometime.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks,
yep.
Boyd.
You betcha.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Art in Milwaukee. Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'd invite you to have a show on Mildred Fish Harnack, who is the Milwaukee woman, the only person American executed for being part of the German resistance. Wisconsin Public TV did a documentary on her. It's going to be shown again in Milwaukee tonight on Channel 10 at 7 p.m. I'm not sure statewide when it's going to be shown, but Joel Waldinger, who produced that and has become quite an expert on her, would be a great guest. And there's an exhibit on her with some fascinating, there's a whole table of her writings back to Wisconsin in the 1930s as Hitler was taking over and the underground publications that they put out during World War II at the museum. It's the Jewish Museum of Milwaukee, now extended through December 4th. So there's an exhibit that was originally curated in Berlin, has been in Germany, France, and now in Milwaukee. But her writings are really very compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel could talk about both the making of the film and her legacy.
Okay. And we may wait just a little bit. Art, Larry Mueller did a show on this on October 31st. So in case you didn't hear it, it's online. You can always stream that online. But I know about it, and we'll do something down the road probably.
And the film Joel did is quite good. Again, I don't know if it's going to be rebroadcast throughout the state, but in Milwaukee, it's tonight at 7.
All right. Thank you, Art.
Thank you. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Maddie in Waupaca. Hi.
Hi. I'd like you to do a show on availability of beds for veterans in Milwaukee and Toma. It's my understanding that there's a waiting list for beds for veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury, and I think if that's the case, it's just outrageous that there would be a waiting list.
All right. We will look into this, Maddie.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. A caller here, hi, who wants to be anonymous. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Go right ahead.
I would like you to give a chance to real moderate Muslims to come and speak up, like Irshad Manji, not the fake moderate Muslims, the real moderate Muslims. I'm from Pakistan, and I know that if moderate Islam is to spread, it will only spread if you give chance to real moderate Muslims, who are like 3%, and we are as persecuted as the minorities of Muslim countries. And what I would really like is to give us a chance, and that's the only way the books taught in our countries will change, and that's the only real change that will get moderate Islam to start moving, because it's the books that are taught in schools and mosques that are full of hatred for non-Muslims. And until we do that, we will keep on seeing a circle. One Qaddafi dies, another rises up, okay? And this will be a never-ending thing unless you give real moderate Muslims a chance. Not the fake moderate Muslims,
right.
Real moderate Muslims.
Do you,
Thank you.
All right. He's gone. I was going to ask for a suggestion for a guest on that. But if you want to get in touch with us, email us something, that would be just fine. Mark in Richland Center. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. I would like to second the earlier call, Greg, I think, that wanted to have a on for monetary reform. I haven't read the book of the guy that he mentioned, but there are a number of other people that I could also recommend, not the least of which would be Dennis Kucinich, who studied with Stephen Zarlenga in Chicago. Stephen Zarlenga has the American Monetary Institute. Another person to possibly have on would be Ellen Brown, who's a monetary historian. And then there were a group of people that put together a movie called The Money Fix, which is at themoneyfix.org, all of which is challenging the way that we do money, the form of money itself. And Stephen Zarlenga's book is called The Lost Science of Money, 800 pages worth of references and historical data on the different forms of money that have been used, but our current form of money actually is our biggest economic problem, is that we're using the wrong form of money. It's now a debt, and debt is not actually money.
All right. Dennis Kucinich might be fun. We haven't talked to him in years.
Yeah, Kucinich has a bill that he's introduced which would both give us full employment and reform the monetary system. So, in fact, Kucinich on the left and Ron Paul on the right are both advocating for monetary reform, both advocating for an elimination of the Federal Reserve and reinstating the power of issuing currency back into the Department of Treasury.
Uh-huh.
And so it would be a historical thing, too, if you study then the monetary history from Thomas Jefferson forward.
All right.
Understand what it is that we're talking about in terms of how we do this thing called money, because the economy actually requires money in large amounts to be circulating, and debt-based money or other kinds of money that are in short supply actually don't function well as money. There needs to be more circulating in order for the economy to do well.
All right.
So having that understanding, it really changes the economic picture for us, and it's not really working well the way we're being told by the economists.
Thank you, Mark. Let's go to Hugh in Milwaukee. Hi, Hugh.
I've just bought two new books. I've only begun to read one of them. One is by J. Christian Adams. It's called Injustice, Exposing the Racial Agenda of the Obama Justice Department. Adams used to work in the Justice Department. He worked there for a number of years, and he resigned because the anti-white racism and the ideologues who now control the Justice Department. If you think that the Obama administration is post-racial, get J. Christian Adams on, and I think he'll show his anti-white racism in that department. The other book, and I'm sure many of your listeners would find this truly offensive, it's The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Empire.
To the what?
The Politically Incorrect Guide to the British Empire. And basically, it's a defense of imperialism. The author is H.W. Crocker, C-R-O-C-K-R. And, you know, he, on the cover, Gandhi praised the British Empire and so forth. We often hear how imperialism is bad and so forth. I'm sure that's all we get in schools nowadays. But maybe we should take another look at all the things that the imperialists did that were good, building roads, building railroads, developing ports, and so forth. I'm sure, as I say, most of your listeners would be outraged, but now and then, why not have somebody give a different point of view?
Well, Hugh, I'm Irish. Do you think I'll change my mind?
No, I don't think you will, but it's still... When you think of India, when you think of the parts of Africa, you know, think of Canada and the seas, the oceans that didn't have that much piracy. Think of the end of slavery, which was demanded by the British Empire. You know, it's a British whose navy basically broke the back of the slave trade. So, you know, there are good things.
All right. It might be a very interesting show. All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Hugh.
Thank you.
Bye. Jim in Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I want to cite the Chicago Tribune from Sunday, front page section, just a wonderful variety of things, but they all tie in to the same kind of theme. And there was one article on Penn State and how people were seeing that the there was a media bias against Joe Paterno, and Mark Kept being investigated by the Department of Education because he didn't report a sexual assault there to the police. And also a woman from a small town in Illinois who was dealing as a victim of the sexual harassment. Just wonderful variety of articles. And it all could be covered under a topic which would deal with denial when it's used in terms of protecting institutions and the thinking patterns of many Americans in this regard. Subtitled, especially with relation to Joe Paterno, Sweep Under the Rugby. Just the whole issue of denial and mm-hmm. why people are so, you know, into denial in terms of protecting institutions, I think is something that should be explored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole thing of the students demonstrating the way they did just knocked me out. I just didn't get it. I don't get that.
Well, they know the price of everything, but the value of nothing at all, and it seems that you know, Penn State, ironically, by the Wall Street Journal, along with Texas A&M and the University of Illinois, are rated as the three top universities in terms of the placement programs and how well the students do in terms of performance on the job. But the question that comes to mind with me is that it seems like there's a continuation of the old Catholic Church pray, pay, and obey mentality, where you listen, you do what you're told, you listen and believe what you're told,
mm-hmm.
you don't raise questions. And whether they can think as moral human beings, to me, is the central issue.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim. It's certainly worth another show. We did a really good show. Chrissy and Rhonda put together a fabulous show last Wednesday. If you didn't hear it, the guests were really good. We had three different guests, and if you want to listen to it online, you can. That was last Wednesday. But yeah, it's a good suggestion and a good angle to take for a further discussion of this. So we'll look for somebody. Thank you, Jim, very much for the call. Our number, it's an open line for the month of November. And so call with your suggestions. We've had some really good ones today. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 for you to join our suggestions for the hours between 9 and 11. What do you want to hear us talk about? More phone calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our number two of our program this Tuesday, Tom Brokaw will be joining us. Tom has a new book, The Time of Our Lives, a conversation about America, who we are, where we have been, and where we need to go now to recapture the American dream. He's been reporting all over the world for 50 years now, and he says what follows in his book are the observations, hopes, memories, and suggestions of a child of the 20th century who had big dreams fulfilled beyond his boyhood fantasies. He's now a man of the 21st century with some observations on how we might realize the great promise of a future that would benefit us all. Tom Brokaw, our number two of our show. Should be good. Back to your phone calls. Linda in Bristol. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My suggestion was based on an agreement that was reached with, and I can't remember what country it was. It might have been the Cayman Islands. But a couple of years ago, they had agreed to release the names of some account holders of offshore accounts, which were, people in this country that were evading their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to find out what had ever happened with that, because our government had given the people the opportunity to fess up, so to speak, prior to the release of their names, and then they would be penalized in a lesser amount. I think they would just have to pay the amount of taxes that they owed rather than any additional penalties. And I never did hear the final disposition of that program. And also, I'd love to have somebody on that would know just how much tax money we're losing by these offshore accounts in Switzerland, et cetera.
The guy for that is David K. Johnston. We had him on during our pledge drive, but we will have him on again. And I can guarantee you David will know the answer to those questions.
Okay, that would be great. And one other quick suggestion would be, I think it would be of interest at some point if WPR could have a guest on or some representative that could offer a disclaimer to various things that are said by people that guest on the show, in particular politicians. I hear a lot of falsehoods. For example, the demonstrations up in Madison, which I was at three different ones, and, I heard some of the Republican representatives saying things that were just not true, and I would love to hear somebody go on, maybe once a week and say, okay, we're following up on this program that you had, and this was stated, and this is incorrect, kind of like a fact type thing. And that's my other suggestion. Thank you very much.
All right, Linda. Thanks very much for the call. Connie in Arcadia. Hi.
Yes, I just found a really interesting book in a private bookstore. It's called The Checklist Manifesto. It's written by a physician, a surgeon, who looks around and says, we are in need of using a simple checklist. And there's quite a, he goes into great detail about why and how a checklist should be prepared. It has to be simple and fast and so forth. And then there's many great stories in there about, they use checklists when they build architecture, huge buildings, and they use checklists all over the place. But physicians are slow to adopt this. And then in the last chapter, he talks about how he has researched all this and thinks he probably should use it, but he doesn't really think it's going to help. And every week, something or another is avoided because of his checklist. It's really quite an interesting read.
Okay, and this is, do you know when it was written, Connie?
It's very new. It was just published the last few months.
The
author's name is Atul, A-T-U-L, and it's Gawande, G-A-W-A-N-D-E.
Okay, good. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a delightful read.
Good. Thank you, Connie.
All right, thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Jean in Wauwatosa. Hi, Jean.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
I'm really concerned with the tar sands that are development that's going on in the western part of our state. I was talking with a gentleman Saturday from north of La Crosse area, and they're concerned about it, and I don't know that there's enough oversight on that, and I'm afraid that it's going to be like too late and we'll realize, oops, we just made a large mess of our gorgeous state.
Okay, we have not done that issue yet. I think a couple other hosts have, but
yeah,
it's something that we should look at. I know a lot of people are interested in the topic.
Yeah, I don't think there can be, I don't think it could be underreported.
All right, thank you, Jean.
Thank you.
Bye. Uh-huh. Bye. Rick in North Freedom. Hi, Rick. Rick, are you there?
Yeah, I don't think there can be.
Sorry, Rick, you'll have to call us back because we just can't hear. You got to be able to hear. It's radio. Rich in Blair. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how are you today?
All right, Rich, how are you?
Good, thank you. I would suggest Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism by Susan Jacoby.
Okay.
It is about separation between church and state and what our founding fathers truly intended our government to be.
All right.
And I just think it would be a very good topic for NPR.
I'm sure it would.
I hope you have a nice day.
Thank you, Rich. Hope you do, too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Chris in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. I'm hoping that you can spend an hour talking about what's happening to women's rights in this country. Reproductive rights specifically, but I'm sure there are others involved, but my concern is these laws and regulations that have been enacted that make it harder for women to have abortions if they need abortions, to find them if they need them. And I'm not sure who you could get. I'm sure anybody from Planned Parenthood.
All right, Chris. Thank you. Thanks for your call. Joshua in Richland Center. Hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Calling in regards to, if you could have a fellow by the name of Yanto Evans, which is I-A-N-T-O space Evans. He's from Cobb Cottage Company out of Coquille, Oregon. And it would be great if he got on and he could talk about rocket mass heaters. Which is a form of heating spaces that is thermal mass horizontal tubing. And it's like you have a fire, and then it heats a bench or a bed, and it retains heat that's thermal. It's also there's radiant heat through a steel drum. They're very inexpensive to make, and they're employed in the third world country. And he has a lot of good things to say. And then the second part, it would be if you could have someone come on to talk about industrial hemp and how this could benefit America, since we spend millions of dollars on hemp as food and fiber, et cetera, and how it could change our landscapes. Instead of corn and beans, we could have hemp growing and putting people to work, et cetera. So thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joshua, for your call. Ron in Viroqua. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to hear an interview with an author by the name of Nora Roberts. She wrote a book some years ago, and I read it in 2 days. It was about She owns a search and rescue dog, and it's a very compelling and moving book in how this dog is trained. And I wondered whether or not it was a true story, but it's just a beautiful book, and she's a fantastic author. I would love to hear her talk about that book.
Yeah, I've read it. I haven't read the book, but I've certainly read about the book, Ron.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's just a fantastic story, and like I said, very moving.
Mm-hmm.
The emotions this dog shows in his job, and he's a wild wolf is befriended by him during this story. She lives in a cabin in the woods, the woman that has this dog.
Mm-hmm.
Just a neat book to read and learn about what these dogs can do. And
it is remarkable. I'm with you. Well, you know, if you bring up a dog, my ears perk up always.
Well, it's a golden retriever, and it is my favorite dog.
Mm. All right. We'll look at it, Ron. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dave in Upper Peninsula. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
You know, I had called in when we were losing jobs at 800,000 a month. I had called in and said, we're going to be real lucky because we'll be able to start working in the mines. I predicted they would starve us of these jobs and that Wisconsin is going through this mine thing. And the Upper Peninsula is being predicted to be just tore up. So I do second a show on the connection that China has with the mining industry.
All right, Dave.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. That's it. Scott in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to suggest economist Dean Baker. In 2007, the Center for Economic and Policy Research they released a study by this company called Global Insight, and they did research into military spending as economic stimulus. And they found that after initial demand of stimulus being there by about the sixth year, that increased military spending turns negative, and it's not really good for the economy. I found out about this in reading the late Chalmers Johnson's last book, Dismantling the Empire, America's Last Best Hope. Of course, we can't get Chalmers Johnson. He's passed away, but he's, railed against empire and the dishonor that it brings, and because it subjugates other people and it is basically slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So that Dean Baker would be a great guest to have on, I think.
All right, Scott.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the call. Ann in Milwaukee. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Kathleen. This is Ann. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm so pleased to get through. I have a cardiologist who's on the Heart Hospital staff in Milwaukee. Until very recently, he's been on the bestsellers list, New York Times nonfiction bestsellers. He has a new book out. It's his second or third book. The name of the book is Wheat Belly. The thesis of the book is that altered food has caused, in large part, the obesity epidemic in this country, primarily wheat. Our bodies metabolize it differently. It changes the way our bodies function, and the result is obesity. It's a pretty far out thesis.
Yeah, I've never heard that before in my whole life.
He's an amazing doctor. He's brought my numbers down. He's improved my health so much, but I'm just one person, you know?
Right.
However, he's engaging. He's bright and pleasant, and I think he'd be a good guest in that respect.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything else I can tell you about the book?
It's
readable.
What's the name of it?
Wheat Belly.
Oh, Wheat Belly is the name of the
book.
And
in fact, I think the thesis is becoming very controversial because the food people, the people who, the producers of wheat that enable the makers of prepared food to get more out of the product, get more out of the crop, to extend it and to make it more pleasant to us, has in fact negated some of the traditional values of wheat and have, as I said, changed the way we metabolize food.
I've never heard it before, but we will look into it, Ann.
Will you? I would be delighted to have him. I think also, you know, he's somebody people can understand, and he would be a compliment to some of your other shows.
Yes, thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
All right, uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Tim in Fort Collins. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I want to make a comment first. The book Checklist Manifesto, it's been published for many years, a few years, but it's by a fellow by the name of Atul Gawande, and he's a surgeon in Brigham and Young's or some fancy hospital back in Boston. But he also writes, and he writes for The New Yorker. The man is just brilliant.
Oh.
He thinks out of the box. His last article in The New Yorker was about the value of having a mentor when you have achieved your, let's say, for example, you and your job,
mm-hmm.
how valuable it would be to have somebody come in that's very experienced in radio to come in and evaluate how you're doing and just give you ideas as to how you could improve what you're doing, because he says, you know, we think we reached this peak, but really we don't. And so he does that and reports on it. He's just a really, really well-spoken man, and I've heard him speak on air before, and he's well-spoken there also.
All right, great. Thank you.
But I have another suggestion.
All right, Tim.
I live in Colorado, but I think the Wisconsin Public Television, Adam Schrager, used to be in Colorado here, and he published a book. He co-published or he co-wrote a book called The Blueprint, How Democrats Won Colorado and Why Republicans Everywhere Should Care. And I thought it might be interesting if you had him on, have him talk about that book, and then have him talk about the radical contrast in the political situation and the politics between Wisconsin and Colorado, because they're really different.
Okay. I know they are very different. All right, Tim. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Tiger in Green Bay. Hi.
I wasn't real concerned about Governor Walker until I heard him freely tell a fake Koch brother that he thought about hiring troublemakers to put in the Madison protest crowd, except he didn't do it because he thought people were tired of them already. So I wondered if there was a show we could do about legal ramifications, if there's a charge for fomenting that type of thing, if what other dirty tricks governors have used through the years, you know, how governors have used underhanded behavior, other executives have used underhanded behavior to stifle dissent. Because that was very chilling to me. You very freely said, well, we considered putting troublemakers in the crowd, but we thought they were tired of them anyway. And I thought, my goodness, is the ship of state really run by someone with such loose morals? I was wondering, is there a criminal charge for that?
I don't know if we can do a whole show on that, Tiger, but we are going to take on the recall tomorrow at 9 o'clock, I think. I'm not sure where we're going with it, but we're going to do the issue. So maybe you can bring that up with whoever we talk to. And thanks for your call. Don in Portage.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to recommend an author, Niall Ferguson, to talk about his current book, Civilization, the West and the Rest.
Okay.
Subtitle he's got here would be, Has the U.S. Deleted the Very Things That Made It Great? And how America can avoid an imminent collapse. There's a current article about it in the current Newsweek magazine.
Okay.
Quite interesting.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Yeah.
Bye. You guys are good today. We're getting some good suggestions. Rick in North Freedom is calling back. Hi, Rick. Rick, I don't know what the story is with your phone, but we're just having real problems here. Hello? I'm sorry. Well, here's the number. We're doing an open line for the month of November, and you're calling in with suggestions of programs you'd like to have. Between the hours of 9 and 11, our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. For you to give us your fabulous ideas. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our next caller is from La Crescent. Hello. Hello. Yes, go ahead, please. Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to make a suggestion about a topic.
that would be about the financial difficulties of families having to leave the state of Wisconsin or other states and separate due to job insecurities or changes in their income and the ramifications that might have on the families. Because I know there's some people who, you know, they've had to find other jobs and their partners had to stay in where they were for their job, and what that toll is having on, you know, the different families, based on extreme political ideologies and the economic situation that's happening right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure it's very hard on families for that to happen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't have, you know, a book or an author or a speaker or anything like that. I just was curious if there had been anything like that. I think it would be interesting.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
All right. Yep.
We go to Fritz in Oshkosh. Hi.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
My suggestion is treatment and reintegration of combat veterans into society. As it stands, there's been some improvements, especially towards health care, for veterans, especially combat veterans. But there's a lot of other issues that society needs to take a look at as far as homeless rate, jobless rate, and, of course, joblessness is a big problem for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe currently we're at 14.1% for veterans.
Yes.
Jobless.
Yes.
And I think it would be great to either have somebody from either the VA or from one of the many veterans associations that are out there come on and speak to where we're at and possibly what can be done or what's in the works to be done for our U.S. heroes
coming home. We haven't focused on veterans issues for a while, so it's a good idea. Good suggestion. Thank you, Fritz.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Steve in Green Bay. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'd like to suggest a show, a medical-based show, on a gene called HLA-B27. It's a marker for hundreds of autoimmune diseases, and it tends to run in families with a European background. It's a marker for fibromyalgia, lupus, Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, spinal diseases, and people will have seemingly unrelated medical issues, and most of them will test positive for this gene. And any rheumatologist from University Hospital would be a good guess.
All right. Okay, Steve, thanks.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye. Michelle in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Michelle.
My suggestion is having Bill Clinton on with his new book, Back to Work, Why We Need a Smart Government for a Strong Economy.
Okay.
It was just out November 8th of this year. He has a lot of ideas to help the economy. He did a speech on C-SPAN Book TV, but I missed most of it, but I would love to listen to a program on it.
Yeah, I don't know if we've had contact with his publicist or not. I did interview. I have to tell you my Bill Clinton story because I think it's an interesting one. First of all, we had him on many, many years ago. It must have been for the 2008 presidential. That's when it was. It wasn't 2008. Time goes so fast. It was 2004 presidential race. And his advance person called me the night before. I have never had this happen in my whole life, and I've done interviews for years now, asking about my background so that he would have a better sense of who I am. And I thought, wow, ain't this something? This guy, no wonder he's so good with people, to show that kind of interest for lonely me, you know. And then the other thing that happened was he was preceded. He only had about 15 minutes. He was preceded by Gloria Steinem. And I thought at the last minute, I'm sure these two know each other, so I'm going to kind of put them on together and make the transition from Gloria Steinem to Bill Clinton. And he had only been on the phone listening to her for about a minute, and she was talking about some very intricate piece of legislation. And by golly, he got on the air, and after saying, "Hello, Gloria, nice to talk to you, nice to talk to you, Mr. President," he went right into that piece of legislation, and he knew everything about it.
Wow.
It was pretty remarkable. Well, I think that's a good suggestion. I don't know if anybody's been trying to get him, but we should.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Arlene in New Berlin. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Arlene.
I would like you to have a program on career politicians. I read someplace years ago that when Washington was president, he did not want anybody that was in government to be a career politician. They all had jobs outside the Washington arena. And, you know, it seems like that these politicians, if they can't do anything in 8 hours, I think they should be out and someone else be voted in to their position, because it seems like they can't. All they do is argue and get into trouble. I really would like somebody to address that.
All they do is argue and get into trouble.
Well, they do. They don't settle anything. They sit there and they debate and debate and debate until the subject is torn apart. And you know, I don't feel that they should be in politics. If that's the case, then they should have someone else come in who can give a fresh idea to the things that are going on in Washington.
Mm-hmm. So you're a believer in term limits?
Yes, okay. Definitely so. Because if they can't do anything in 8 years like the president does, you're out of a job.
Right.
And the pensions these guys get, I'm sorry. I can't get a pension like that. I wish I could. I wouldn't have to worry about my bills. And I did save for my retirement, but some of it is gone.
Yeah. All right, Arlene.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye. Chris in Milwaukee. Hi. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
I am extremely interested in finding out about the details of the recent $1 million, I think it's a million or more, cuts in that Walker and the Republicans passed for cuts in BadgerCare and Medicaid recently, and details, and what this is going to mean in way of actual care, but also premiums and things like that. And if you could have somebody on who's knowledgeable about that, I'm on BadgerCare myself, and I'm on disability and am barely making it. And but also, if you had someone who's knowledgeable to do a comparison as to the corporate credits or the value of the credits that conversely have been done in the legislature in the same time period. Because there are people who are working two and three jobs, you know, and they're barely, you have to be under the federal poverty level to be on BadgerCare. And it's a lifesaver. I mean, it really is. And Medicaid, of course, is. And for them to be cutting this, people who have little to no money as it is, and I've been told that there are premium increases, and I do pay an annual premium,
right,
which I'm happy to pay. But then if there's, and I pay deductible, it's a minor $3 deductible every time I see the doctor, so I'm happy to pay that. But this could just devastate people who are already on the edge.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Thank you very much for the call. It's been some time since we've done kind of an overview of, I know there are a lot of people on Badger Care who are concerned in Wisconsin to look at that program and also to look at what's happened with premiums with people in healthcare, how much more people are paying for healthcare, what parts of the new healthcare overhaul have kicked in, what will kick in. So we should do a show on that, and we take your suggestion to heart, and we'll follow through. Thank you for your call. Lenore in Waterford, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, I'm very interested in hearing a show or maybe listening to an author that has written a book on Facebook etiquette, like the Emily Post take on what are the rules and what is just right and not right. What do you do on Facebook? What do you post? What do you not post?
People post everything, don't they?
I know, and it's a little crazy. It gets a little out there with especially that young, you know, young group and parents as well. And so I would just really like to hear the take on that. It's the Emily Post take.
All right. I love Facebook,
what's right,
though.
What's wrong?
Do you like Facebook? Do you like it, Lenore?
I do. I just think sometimes it can be good and sometimes it can be bad.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing what some people post. I mean, where they went to eat and what they had. And
yep.
I just, well, okay, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. I would just love to hear it because, you know, or if there's a book out there, if there's an author that has written a book, I'm sure you've maybe done a take on Facebook, but I missed it. So I would just love to hear something like that, you know, maybe during the Christmas vacation while all the kids are out so they can all hear it.
Okay, Lenore. And don't forget, sign up for our Facebook page, too, the Kathleen Dunn Show. We only post things that are, well, you know, we get some wacky things on there, too.
Yeah. It's just crazy. You know, sometimes I wonder what the world would be like without Facebook.
Right.
It would be a little bit more peaceful. But, you know, it does have a good take, too. It's very informational.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Lenore. Thanks for the call. David in San Francisco. Hi.
Hey. Morning, Kathleen. You know, I'm speaking with your producer. I understand you're going to help Ralph Nader come in, maybe in January. But he'll be talking more specifically about his new book. But I'm wondering if you could find somebody that would have knowledge of the ancient ways that we got rid of got through the economic depressions of the past. For example, all during the 1800s, there were 40 or 50 different panics throughout the nation that looted the nation, very similar to what's going on right now. Same kind of corrupt legislation, same kind of corrupt judges and district attorneys that facilitate it and don't prosecute it. So the alternative currency idea, both Howard Zinn and Ralph Nader have advocated these alternative currencies, where you refuse to use the money that the corrupt have stolen. So all of a sudden their money is worthless and the local money is more valuable. So if you could find a guest that would be able to show people how that's done. And just a quick suggestion along those lines, if, say, for example, your local Occupy Wall Street effort in all the little towns came up with like a little toy craft center and taught kids, taught the youth, taught the various towns and counties how to make local products again. You know, the little old ladies could teach people how to knit again. The hair braiders could teach people how to do that. The toy, you could make them as crafts and toys, and people could get used to creating their own products again. And you could have a Christmas this year, which would have more local impact, as well as actually getting some educational value out of it.
All right, David.
Yeah, no trouble.
You're just filled with ideas this Tuesday morning, sir.
Well, we just got a beautiful sunrise here in San Francisco, so you can't help but enjoy and wish good upon the world.
I like that. May there be good upon the world. Thank you, David.
My pleasure.
Uh-huh. Bye. It's a nice thought, sunrise over San Francisco. Bruce in Green Bay. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
All right, Bruce, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
What I'd like to hear is a program sometime of the power and the trials and tribulations of the TSA at the airports. and the security of what people can expect, and probably like calling from Wisconsin, to really get an idea of what's the best airport to travel out of in Wisconsin to not run into headaches.
Well, you don't have a whole lot of choice, do you?
Well, you know, you're in Green Bay, but 40 minutes south is Appleton, and an hour away is Central Wisconsin Airport, and you've got Milwaukee, and you've
right.
got Madison, and everything is only a two-hour drive, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it might be it wouldn't be just a Wisconsin situation, because people in other states would also listen and say, geez, I don't have to go out of this troublesome airport I am. I'll drive an hour and find a better
and
place.
And go somewhere
you know?
Else. I see what you're saying. All right. Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for your call. Well, I think that was a very productive open line. Thank you for your calls. We had some really good suggestions. We will follow them through. Just keep, we always post on Facebook, speaking of a show on Facebook, on the Kathleen Dunn Show. If you haven't gone there, it can be a lively place for conversation, too. And we always let you know what's coming up, if we know the next day, but we usually know at least an hour, so you can look there for what's the haps. Thanks to Chrissy Pease for answering your many phone calls. Thanks for the calls. Let me give you our email address. Oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Go to PEASEDUNNKANFANNING@WPR if you have suggestions for us. Thank you.